And this morning we're going to be looking at Romans chapter 10, some familiar verses to most of us, or to many of us. And I hope they'll be familiar to you, but I pray that the familiarity will not keep you from absorbing something fresh and new from the Lord this morning. In the three Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Jesus instructs his disciples in each one of those to go into all the world and make more disciples. That's it. That's the final thing that he told them to do. Go and make more disciples. And that charge has been handed down to every generation of Christians throughout the centuries, all the way down to today, and that includes us. We who are born again believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we make up the church. We are the disciples that he has called on to go and make more disciples. That's our purpose as a church. We do a lot of things, but our primary purpose is to go and make more disciples. The most important thing you can be is not a doctor, is not a lawyer, is not a school teacher, truck driver, or any other career. The most important thing you can be is a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just you, but it's true for everybody. And so if that's the most important thing a person can be, then our task is to help them become that. Amen. We can't do it for them, but we can help them become a disciple of the Lord Jesus. Well, what is a disciple? Here's the answer. It's on the screen. It's anybody who trusts Jesus as their Savior and Lord and follows Him.
Amen.
And follows Him. It's not just, I'm a Christian, I'm a disciple. No. I'm a Baptist, I'm a disciple. No, that's not it. I don't care what denomination you claim to be, or even claiming to be a Christian does not make you a disciple. It begins with being saved. You trust Jesus as your Savior and your Lord, and you follow Him. You live your life according to His holy word. That's what a disciple does. It's a follower of somebody. You can be a disciple of all kinds of people and all kinds of things, but we're talking about being a disciple of the Lord Jesus. Some people follow some crazy stuff and some different weird people that have some wild ideas, and they're followers of that individual and their way of thinking. So they're a disciple of that person. But we're talking about being a disciple of the Lord Jesus.
Yes.
Living according to His word. That's what a disciple does. And it begins with being saved. So what does it take to be saved? I thought I'd make that real clean. I know you hear it a lot here from this pulpit and a lot of others as well. We need to know that Jesus died for the sins of the whole world, but not everybody's sins are forgiven. It takes something special for His death on the cross to pay for your sins, even though the deposit was made. It's enough. He shed enough blood. He suffered enough to pay for every one of our sins, but not everybody is saved, and we need to find out what does it take to really be saved. That may be a question in your mind. You may have said, I've heard my whole life, I need to get saved. But what are they talking about? That's what we hear in church. We read gospel tracts. What do they mean, be saved? Saved from what? Saved how? Hopefully we'll get those questions answered for you this morning in Romans chapter 10. By now you should have opened your Bible and found Romans chapter 10. In verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there's no difference between Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
Now let's back up and look at it one verse at a time. Verse 9 said, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Exactly what does it mean to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus? On the day of Pentecost, Simon Peter preached the famous sermon. And on that sermon, as he declared who Jesus was, you find that in the 36th verse of that chapter, he said, God hath, and he's preaching to the Jews, the people that are in Jerusalem, the one who had crucified Jesus, and he's standing on a street corner preaching to them, and he said, this same Jesus that you have crucified, God has made to be both Lord and Christ. So, What must we do to be saved? We've got to believe this is true. That's the question they answered when they heard that. So, well, if we and the one we crucified, God made to be both Lord and Christ, what are we to do? We're guilty. They knew they'd crucified him. What do we do? He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Believe on him. Trust him. Realize who he really is. What was happening. Deal with the reality of it and you'll be saved. And according to the Bible, on that day, that one single day, after that one single sermon, 3,000 people accepted Christ in the city of Jerusalem. That's an amazing thing. But that's what the Bible says happened. 3,000. Believe that Jesus is the Lord over all the universe. Do you believe that? Believe that he is Lord? Will you confess it with your mouth that he is Lord over all the universe? Amen. Will you accept him as the Lord of your life too? If he's Lord over everything, then he's got to be Lord over me too. Amen. If he's controlled the planets and the stars and all of the universe, he has a right to control me. I just need to bow down and let him do it. Say, Lord Jesus, you're in charge today. I'm going to live my life your way today. I want to walk the way you want me to walk. I want to go where you want me to go. I want to say what you want me to say and do what you want me to do and nothing else. I want to be obedient to you because you are Lord. You're Lord of everything. Listen, if it's true for you and you're saying Jesus has a right to rule my life and you're saying I willingly submit to your authority, and if it's really true for you, confess it. Tell it. That's what he's saying. Listen, if you want to be saved, you need to tell it, Jesus, I'm real yielding you to be the Lord and master of my life, and I'm telling the world. He's in control of my life. The reason I live the way I live is because I'm asking him how to live it. The reason I eat lunch where I go to eat lunch today, or wherever it is, it's because I prayed and I said, Lord, do you want me to go? The reason I'm dressed the way that I am today, because Jesus, how should I dress today? I mean, we're getting down to little bitty stuff here. But major decisions too. The reason I'm married to my wife is because I prayed and said, Lord, is that the one you want me to have? Thank God he said yes. I like her a lot. I've loved her and been married to her well over a half a century. I'm so glad he answered that prayer. He had a perfect will for us in marriage. He has a perfect will for you too. In every aspect of our lives. And so we just need to be willing to bow down before him and trust him as our Lord. Look at the next part of that verse. You confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. First, you need to believe that Jesus is God's Son. That he came from heaven, he lived on earth a sinless life, and he was crucified, and he died, and he paid for your sins. Otherwise, you could not be forgiven. God cannot forgive sins that have not been paid for. He can't just wink and say, oh, well, you weren't as bad as the other person. I'll let you into heaven. No. Your sins have to be paid for in order for you to be forgiven. Jesus paid for them. Do you believe in him? That's what it says. You believe in your heart. God raised him from the dead. He didn't just let him die on the cross, but he raised him from the dead so that he is able to save anybody who calls on him to save them. Amen. If he was still dead, Jesus would be useless for us looking for a Savior. So believing in your heart is more than just a mental acceptance of the facts as true. Believing in your heart means that I'm accepting the facts about Jesus being true. And because of that, I am trusting him. Amen. Not just trusting the facts, the words about him. I'm trusting him personally. This is personal between you and him. I'm trusting you to save me, Jesus. That's what we're talking about. And if you're trusting Jesus to save you, you're going to do something. You're going to do something that everybody who ever has really trusted him has done that's been saved. And we get to that verse 13. It said, call on him to save you. See, when you do that, your salvation takes place. All the head knowledge in the world won't save you. All your belief in the facts won't save you. You must have a belief and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and call on him to save you, or it won't happen. But it can happen. It can happen for anybody. It doesn't matter how good or how bad you've been or what your background was or your education or anything else. Trusting Jesus to save you causes you to call on Him to save you. If you're really trusting Him, you'll say, I'm not trusting anybody else. I'm not trusting my goodness. I'm not trusting East Ridge Baptist Church. I'm not trusting anything else but you. You're the only one that can save me. Look at verse 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with mouth confession is made unto salvation. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness. That's the difference between believing in your head and believing in your heart. Amen. When you believe in your heart, it produces righteousness. There's two kinds of righteousness. One is the word the theologians use said, imputed righteousness. Doesn't that sound good? Imputed righteousness. Are you impressed? That means that God looks at you, and in spite of your sinful past, when you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, God looks at you and said, I am going to declare you to be righteous. Amen. As righteous as my own son Jesus. Matter of fact, I'm taking His righteousness and I'm putting it on you so that I can look at you and see His righteousness and declare you to be righteousness. That is righteousness imputed. Amen. Okay? Amen. That changes everything. And that's the only way anybody gets into heaven. You can't get there on your own righteousness, that's for sure. But you get His righteousness imputed. God declares you to be righteous because your sins have been forgiven and forgotten forevermore. God says, I'll put them behind me. I'll pass them as far as the east is from the west. I will remember your sins no more. So that when you stand before God on judgment day and they're looking for the list of your sins, it's blank. Amen. It's a blank page. Why? They've been washed away. They've been forgiven and forgotten. And God says, you're righteous. Come into my holy heaven. That's righteousness imputed. That's the first one. The second one is practical righteousness. Listen, when you get saved, when you trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He goes to work on your heart. He goes to work on your mind. He goes to work on your life. He goes to work on your attitudes. He goes to work on your vocabulary. He goes to work on you, and He changes how you live your life. And you will start producing righteousness on a daily basis as you live. It's called practical righteousness. Amen. If you get two terms, you got them stuck. I hope you got them. Imputed from God and practical that the world can see. See, God sees the imputed righteousness, but the world sees practical. They watch you. If you say, I'm a Christian. I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's my Lord. They say, okay, let me watch. Let me see how much different your life is as it used to be or how much it is from the other wicked sinner who lives next door to you. Practical righteousness. It's the evidence that we have been saved. It's the evidence that He has changed our lives. It's righteous living. You may say, well, I don't know. You're talking about all this good stuff that I got to do to be righteous, have practical righteousness, but I've never been saved, but I do some good stuff. I've never called on Jesus to save me. I've never done those other things you're talking about. But listen, I give to the poor. I mean, I gave $20 to a hungry man just the other day. Wasn't that good? Wasn't that righteous? It was good, but it wasn't righteous. Well, I mean, I do this. I mean, I go to church. Isn't that righteous? No, it's good. It's not righteous. Until you are saved, you cannot produce righteousness. Cannot. Amen. Every good thing that we do before we are saved, God looks at it and He says, all of your righteousnesses, I love the plural of that word. That's the only place I know where it is in the Bible. All your righteousnesses is nothing more than filthy rags. Isaiah 64 and 6. Wow. I think I'm all clothed up in this fine looking, righteous looking robes. I'm so good. I mean, I do all these wonderful things. God says, filthy rags. What? How can you say all this good-looking stuff on me is so nothing but filthy rags, God says, because I'm comparing it to Jesus. You haven't trusted my Son as your Savior. I can't see His righteousness on you, and that's the only way I'm ever going to see it. Oh, listen to me, my brother, my sister. You may think you're good enough to get to heaven on your own. You're not. Nobody is. If any one person could, there'd be no reason for Jesus to have gone to the cross. But He did, didn't He? And He went for me and for you. Notice what that verse says. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness. See, when you're really believing in Jesus, trusting Him, that means you're trusting Him as your Savior. God's going to see you as righteous. Your life is going to change. You're going to be doing some good stuff that God's going to say, yeah, that's righteous. That's my Son working through you. The Holy Spirit of God's working through you, producing that right, those righteous works. And look at the last part of the verse. It says, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Oh, if I confess it, that means I'm saved? No, you misunderstood. Confession is made unto salvation means that you are confessing that Jesus, in fact, is your Lord and He is your Savior.
Amen.
Not only the Lord, but your Lord. Not only the Savior, but your Lord, your Savior. You're confessing it's a reality that you have been saved. It's told and it's true. That's what confessing means. You told the truth. It was a reality. Just like in a courtroom, they say, you confess. What did you do? And you tell the truth. Hopefully you should. That's what they're wanting you to do, is confess the truth. And here it is before God and before the world. We confess it's true. Jesus is my Savior. He did die on the cross for me. He did take my punishment. I am forgiven. I belong to the Lord and He's my Lord. I confess it's true. And the world is going to listen to your words and they're going to look at your life and say, let me see if that confession is real. All of us can say the right words, but are we living the right life that backs up our verbal confession? We need to do both. Verse 11. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. When you and I believe on Jesus, we're just simply going to say, Jesus, please save me. And when we say, Jesus, please save me, it says right here, we'll never be ashamed. We believe in Him enough to ask Him to save us. We're never going to be ashamed of it. Nobody who ever trusts Jesus to save them will ever be ashamed of it. They'll never say, well, I asked Jesus to save me, but I don't feel saved. I don't think He really did it. I think I'll ask Buddha to save me. Some of you would kind of chuckle at that idea and say, Buddha would save me. But some people do believe in Buddha and not in Jesus, don't they? And maybe you're going to not trust Buddha to save you, but maybe I think I'll just save myself. No, that won't work. Or somebody else can save me. Or maybe some religion will save me. Some church will save me. Listen, you trust in any of those things to save you and you will be disappointed and you will be ashamed of it before God one day. But Jesus, He'll never fail you. Buddha will save you. The church will fail you. You'll fail yourself. But Jesus will never fail. When you trust Him to save you, you believe in Him, you'll not be ashamed because He'll never, ever fail you. Move to verse 13. For whosoever... That includes everybody. Nobody left out. Shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's not complicated. I believe all the stuff about Jesus is true. I believe everything about Him is true. I believe He did die on the cross for me. I do believe He was buried in the tomb and 3 days later came back to life. I believe He did ascend to heaven. I believe Jesus is alive in heaven right now and He can hear me when I say, Jesus, save me. Oh, Jesus, please save me. He can hear me. And He wants to save me. He proved it on that cross that He's willing to save me. He proved that God loves me enough to do it. I can call on Him to save me now. When I believe those things in my head and I believe it in my heart, it's so true. Jesus, please save me. Listen, if you've never called on Jesus to save you, I'm talking about personally. I'm not talking about some sort of mystical trust in something or somebody. I'm talking about you and Jesus. You called on Him. Jesus, I'm asking You to save me as if I was the only sinner on the planet. If you've never done that, now is your chance.
Amen.
Right here, right now, in church, right where you are. Not waiting another hour, not waiting another day. Right at this very moment, you can call on Him to save you right now. And it says right here very plainly, if you'll call on Him, He'll do it. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Is that you? It could be if you do it. Trust Him. Trust Him to save you and become the Lord of your life, your Savior and your Lord. If that happens, if you trust Him, you're going to find out He did not fail you. You will gain a peace from God that says, I see you as righteous. I see you without your sins. I see you with the righteousness of my Son Jesus on you. Simply because you called on Jesus to save you and you repented of your sins and said, please, I don't want this in my life anymore. I want to live my life your way instead of my way. My way's been wrong. I'm trusting you. Please save me. He'll do it. And when He does, God will declare you to be righteous and you'll start seeing righteous acts in your life that you never thought you'd do before. You would find yourself doing some things that only a Christian would do. And you're going to look back and say, wow, God really changed me. He changed my want-tos. He changed my priorities. He changed my loves. He made so many changes in me. And as I look at the changes, what I used to be and what I am now, you know what? I'm a lot more like Jesus than I used to be. That's how it works. That's what He does. As He changes us and makes us more righteous, we become more like Jesus in our daily living. Well, some years ago, there was that saying, what would Jesus do? That's a good question. Watch a good Christian, you'll get the answers. We'll see what Jesus do. Watch a good Christian. Somebody who's letting the Lord Jesus be the master of their lives, living their life His way. You'll see some of what Jesus would do. Listen, I plead with you, if you've never trusted Jesus, do it today while you're here. And you will find that He will make you a disciple. We started with that word about making disciples. That church is called to make disciples. That's what we're here for you for. In order to be a disciple, you must be saved. And when He makes you a disciple, guess what? He will call you to do something. He'll call you to do something that He's never called you to do before. When you become a true disciple, a born-again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you want to be a disciple, you want to follow Him, you know what He's going to tell you to do? Go make more disciples. Same thing He told Apostle Paul. Same thing He told Simon Peter. Same thing He told every Christian since that time. Go make more disciples. And that is going to be a new purpose in your life. And it's going to be bringing a new meaning to your life. Because Christians, listen to me. I don't care how long you've been a Christian, whether you just now prayed and accepted Jesus and got saved, or whether you did it 20 years ago. The meaning for your life should be to make new disciples. The primary purpose of you still being here and not in heaven is to make more disciples. And we just need to get busy and get doing it. I know I've been talking so far to people who have probably not accepted Christ as their Savior and Lord yet, been saved. But I want to shift now just a little bit directly to the church. And I'm not going far. I'll go down to the next verse. Verse 14. After He just said, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher or a proclaimer? How's that going to happen? Good question. Christian, are you listening? He's called us to make disciples. What does that mean? We've got to be the proclaimers. Somebody's got to go tell them. Who's better equipped to tell a lost person how to be saved than a saved person who used to be lost? Somebody who's found new life in Christ can tell somebody who hasn't found new life in Christ how to find it. That's what we're here for. How shall they hear without a preacher? We're commanded to go and make disciples, and our understanding of first to be a disciple, they've got to be saved. And to be saved, they've got to call on Jesus to be saved. In order to be saved, they're going to have to believe in Him and call on Him, and before they call on Him, you got to believe in Him. They're not going to be a believe in Him if they don't know anything about Him, if nobody's told them. Church, that's their job. That's their job. The whole process is to lead people to Christ to where they will call on Him to save them. We must go and tell. And you may be saying, look, I know I'm a Christian, and I know I go to church, and I know I got a Bible, but I don't know the right verses, and I'm afraid I'll mess it up. Listen to me carefully. I'll tell you exactly how you can do this without messing it up. Are you ready? If you've ever been saved, tell your story. Just tell your story. What was I like before I got saved? What happened at the end of my life that caused me to repent of my sins and say, Jesus, please come save me? What happened in your life? It's your personal testimony. It's your witness of what the Lord has done for you. And that's all you got to say. See, you can quote scriptures and somebody say, well, I don't believe that scripture. I'll argue with you about that. But they can't argue with you when you say, this happened to me. It's real. I'm not the person I used to be. He changed me. I mean, I used to be this, this, and this, but thank God I'm not that anymore. I used to do this, this, and this, but thank God I don't do that anymore. I never had done this, this, and this, but I'm doing it now. Oh, this is wonderful. He has changed my life. I've got a joy in my heart I never had before. I've got an enthusiasm that I didn't have before. I've got a love for people that I didn't have before. He has changed me. They can't argue with your testimony. So you Christian, listen, go make a disciple. Make one just like you. You say, oh, I don't want to be just like me. Go ahead. That's a good starting place. The Lord will take it from there. He'll make them better. And He'll make you better too. One of the greatest joys you'll ever have in life as a Christian is leading somebody else to Christ. And listening to them pray. And watching their life change. Watching them become righteous in their daily living. And you'll say, wow, I didn't know much. But I knew what the Lord did for me, and I told them, and the Holy Spirit went to work on them. And they trusted Jesus, and look at the difference in that person now. Wow. It'll bring more joy into your life than you ever thought possible. Christian, you're missing out on it if you're not doing what He's told us to do. Go and make disciples. Teach them to follow Jesus. Teach them to observe everything He's taught. Teach them to go and make more disciples. You know, a couple of weeks ago in this very service, many of us committed to praying that God would make Eastridge the kind of a disciple-making church that He wants it to be. Not by anybody else's standards except His. And we also prayed that He would make us as individuals. Many of you prayed the same prayer, Lord, turn me into a disciple-maker. Don't forget those prayers. Keep praying as you watch God do it. I wouldn't pray and ask God to do something I wouldn't believe He would do. He's put us on our hearts to do exactly what He's called us to do and overcome all the obstacles and all the barriers. Remember your commitment and pray that God will help you do what He has called you to do. At the end of each service, we always give an altar call or an invitation. You can call it whichever you like. But we're inviting people to do whatever God's telling you you need to do with your life right now. You've heard some information today, and we trust the Holy Spirit spoken to your heart, not just ears and head. And God's given you some direction. There's something you need to do in response. Maybe this is the moment you need to really believe in the Lord Jesus Christ with all of your heart and call on Him to save you. If so, that's what you need to do. We're going to give you that chance. I'm going to be quiet here, believe it or not. I'm going to be quiet here for just a minute so you can pray. And you can ask Jesus to come into your heart and save you and become the Lord and Master of your life. And then after you do that, you'll be able to confess that He is your Lord, just like the Scripture says.